But first, I do want to talk a little bit about this Truth Social post. And you know what? I had an article clipped about it, but I think I'm just going to read it because it deserves to be read in its entirety, even though it's literally 500 words. So I'm going to pull it up for you. And our first, before we get into the actual ceasefire, let's do the fun stuff. Let's do a silly one first. So our first story is about this unbelievable Truth Social post from President Trump. I'll read the article to you first about it. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says, quote, President Trump called Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens, and Alex Jones, four conservative, once allies of Trump who have been critical of his approach to the war in Iran, losers and stupid people, in a nearly 500-word Truth Social post on Thursday. He said they sought publicity and would say anything necessary to get it. And this is the post. I'll read it to you. This is good stuff, guys. Why do I like it? See, that's how you know I'm evil. That's how you know I might be a little bit evil. And maybe I just live for the drama a little bit. Maybe I just like to see something happen sometimes. But today, Trump jumps on Truth Social and he just tears Alex Jones, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens, Tucker, and Marjorie Greene a fucking new asshole in this 500-word devastating truth nuke, orbital strike, rods of God bomb of a post. And I don't know why I like it, because directionally I agree with all these people, but there's something that I just like about this. Anyway, so this is the post. This is Trump. He says, I know why Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens, and Alex Jones have all been fighting me for years, especially by the fact that they think it is wonderful for Iran, the number one state sponsor of terror, to have a nuclear weapon, because they have one thing in common, low IQs. They're stupid people. They know it, their families know it, and everyone else knows it too. Look at their past. Look at their record. They don't have what it takes, and they never did. They've all been thrown off television, lost their shows. They're not even invited on TV because nobody cares about them. They're nut jobs, troublemakers, and will say anything necessary for some free and cheap publicity. Now they think they get some clicks because they have third-rate podcasts, but nobody's talking about them. And their views are the opposite of MAGA, or I wouldn't have won the presidential election in a landslide. MAGA agrees with me and just gave CNN a 100% approval rating of Trump, not hand flailing fools like Tucker, who couldn't even finish college. He was a broken man when he got fired from Fox, and he's never been the same. Perhaps he should see a good psychiatrist. Or Megyn Kelly, who nastily asked me the now famous only Rosie O'Donnell question. Or crazy Candace Owens, who accuses the highly respected First Lady of France of being a man when she is not, and will hopefully win lots of money in the ongoing lawsuit. Actually, to me, the First Lady of France is a far more beautiful woman than Candace. In fact, it's not even close. Or bankrupt Alex. I love how it just goes on and on. It just keeps going. He writes, or bankrupt Alex Jones, who says some of the dumbest things and lost his entire fortune, as he should have, for his horrendous attack on the families of the Sandy Hook shooting victims, ridiculously claiming it was a hoax. It's like, you know, and I shouldn't, why is this so funny to me? Because you know me, I love Alex and I love, he's really the only one I like, I guess, but there's something so funny that this is the president of the United States just lighting these niggas up, just lighting them up on Truth Social. And because they all supported him for like a decade and voted for him and shilled for him. And then he just lights them up. He writes, or bankrupt Alex Jones, who says some of the dumbest things, lost his entire fortune, as he should have, for his horrendous attack on the families of the Sandy Hook shooting victims, ridiculously claiming it was a hoax. These so-called pundits are losers, and they always will be. Now, fake news CNN, the failing New York Times, and all of the other radical left news organizations are hailing them and giving them positive press for the first time in their lives. They are not MAGA. They are losers just trying to latch on to MAGA. As president, I could get them on my side anytime I want to. But when they call, I don't return their calls because I'm too busy on world and country affairs. And after a few times, they go nasty, just like Marjorie Trader Brown. But I no longer care about that stuff. I only care about doing right for our country. MAGA is about winning and strength and not allowing Iran to have nuclear weapons. MAGA is about making America great again, and these people have no idea how to do that. But I do, because the U.S. is the hottest country in the world. And that is the 500-word message, the literally 500-word Truth Social post from our fearless president of the United States, Donald Trump. And I suppose it speaks for itself. So he really hates these people. And what really is there to say about it that hasn't already been said? He has betrayed MAGA. This movement started in opposition to war. Now it is responsible for the wars. The movement radicalized the masses, now is de-radicalizing them. All of these people supported Trump and sacrificed for the benefit of America First and this movement. Now they've all been devoured by it. They've all been backstabbed and betrayed and thrown under the bus by it. And now they get, instead of rewarded and instead of gaining any type of influence, they get publicly humiliated and attacked. And listen, I have a complicated relationship with some of these people. Megyn Kelly hates me for some reason. Tucker hates me for some reason. Candace Owens hates me for some reason. Alex Jones I like. But there is a lesson in this, which is that each and every one of these people, like I said, they have supported Trump for 10 years. Each and every one of these people, as far as I know, they voted for Trump 3 times. They campaigned for him in 2024. Some of them spoke at the convention. You know it, I know it, and we've all seen it. How many shows has Alex Jones gone to the mat for Trump? In spite of what he knew, in spite of his reservations, in spite of his concerns, how many shows and how much flack did he get? And I say this because I'm most aware of Alex Jones' body of work. How much has Alex defended Trump, fought for Trump, went to Stop the Steal, supported him in 2016, said it was imperative to support him in 2024, defended him from the witch hunt, from the Russia investigation. And by the way, even when it was hard, even when it was difficult, when he was destroyed by the left and lost everything, and Trump was no help, Trump did not give Alex Jones a pardon preemptively when he could have after January 6th. Trump did not try to assist him in getting censored off of the internet in his first term, and Trump has done nothing in the second term to help Alex Jones in this ridiculous lawsuit and ongoing witch hunt in other matters from the DOJ and from the left. And this is how Alex is rewarded. Think of that. This is how he is rewarded. Trump doesn't help him. Trump doesn't do anything for him, and Alex has no influence. Instead, Trump is going to throw him under the bus literally the second that Alex expresses disagreement with Trump over a policy, which, by the way, Trump himself campaigned against. What does it tell you? This is the same thing that I have been saying from the beginning. From the beginning of this show, since the 2024 election, about Trump. And it is this: take your own side. Why are people loyal to Trump? Why would you be loyal to Trump? Do you not see who this person is? Trump is not a loyal person. He isn't and never has been, ever. Hello? When will people wake up and realize this is not a loyal person? Trump is a treacherous person and always has been. Look at all of Trump's closest allies over the past 10 years. People like Jeff Sessions, people like Ann Coulter, people in the Trump organization. How many people have gotten involved with Trump? They were the first to endorse him, like Sessions, like Ann Coulter. How many people got sued, like Bannon, like Mike Flynn, like his campaign manager, whose name I forget right now? How many of these people got involved with Trump, lost everything, sacrificed everything on his behalf, were destroyed, only to be discarded, only to be backstabbed, thrown under the bus? It happens over and over again. And this is just what you come to expect with Trump. It's the scorpion and the frog. You can't take it personally. You can't hold it against him. It's in his nature. It's what he does. He stings these people. And you don't have to be mad about it, and you don't have to moralize about it, but you recognize this is a person in politics. He is not our friend. He is not the savior of Western civilization. He's not God. He's not your boss. He's not your dad. He's a politician. He's a billionaire. He is a billionaire. He is a politician. And this extraordinary movement that he has built, historic as it is, and maybe at one point had noble intentions, always was there to enrich and benefit him. That was always the program. And we thought we would get something out of it. This movement obviously edified the president to an extraordinary degree. Trump was in this arguably from the beginning for his own legacy, for his own aggrandizement. What was the purpose of the MAGA movement? Trump wanted another jewel in his crown. He wanted another feather in his cap. It wasn't enough to be a billionaire. It wasn't enough to put his name on a skyscraper or 10 of them. It wasn't enough to have the biggest game show on NBC and be a celebrity and the rest of it. He wanted to leave his mark on history. He wanted to be like those people in the history documentaries he watches. He wanted to be the leader. And we thought that if we conferred those benefits on him, if we made him our king, then we would get something out of it too, that there was this coincidence of wants. We will appoint you the tyrant. We will appoint you the leader. And it can be all about you, and it can be your name, and you can put your stamp on it. As long as it is a populist uprising and empowered by the people, you would deliver some of those benefits to the people. But we saw what happened in the first term. Didn't happen. Trump betrayed all of his own people. The people from his campaign didn't get jobs in the admin. The people that stormed the Capitol for him did not get pardons. They went to jail. The people that fought the hardest for him fought the Russia gate and fought in the cabinet and wore their MAGA hats and endorsed him. One by one, they were all discarded, humiliated, mocked, betrayed. There's no excuse. After Trump did not pardon the J6ers, you should have knew what kind of guy he was. He didn't put Clinton in jail. He didn't build the wall. He didn't make allies with Russia. He didn't put Israel in its place. He did none of the things he promised. He didn't help any of the people that voted for him or any of the people that fought for him. As a matter of fact, in many ways, he only hurt them. And this is why in 2024, I said, loyalty to Trump. I don't owe Trump anything. What more do I owe Trump? What more does anybody owe this person? We voted for him twice, and many of us were there for Stop the Steal, and many of us were holding down the fort on the internet, fighting the meme war, and we were spreading the gospel of Trump and wearing the hat and doing all these things, and we all paid a price in our own way, whether you were ostracized, disinvited from a Thanksgiving dinner, fired from your job, expelled from school, punched in the face, banned on Twitter, put in jail, died. Some people died. We all suffered in our own way. And what were we rewarded with in the end? A vaccine, BLM riots, a jail sentence after J6. Nobody got their Twitter accounts back. There was no tech, Bill of Rights or anything like that. We got nothing. And so in 2024, this was the only group of people, the Groypers and me included, that said, hey, let's snap out of it. Let's adjust to the information that we've gotten. And let's just realize we have to put America first, not Trump, not the GOP, not whatever. We have to put Americans, us, we have to put the country first. Trump won't do that. He can't do it. So we don't need him. But we were convinced by all of these people, Tucker, Megan, Candace. I'm not going to say Alex because I like Alex, but he campaigned for Trump too. All these people told us, no, we need to vote for Trump. We got to do it one last time. Some people even went further and they say, loyalty to Trump is my only ideological value. We owe him. I'm loyal to the president. Look at what that has profited us. Nothing. And look at what it has profited the biggest cheerleaders. They just get bitch slapped across the face. And what's amazing is that they still don't have a clue. Think about, and this is what I want to say, because this is the most important part. This is what you need to know, aside from maybe giving you some emotional catharsis here. Megyn Kelly said this week she's still going to vote Republicans in the midterms. She said, I'm still going to vote for the Republicans. Then she doubled down and said, even if Trump nukes Iran, I'm still voting Republican. What? How about now? Now that Trump has attacked all these people, are you still going to vote Republicans? I'm sure she would say yes. Even after all this, they still want you to keep voting. Same thing with Tucker. Tucker was at the RNC in 2024 saying Trump is the leader of our nation. He may not be the president, but he's the leader. Remember that? Remember that? Tucker went to the Republican convention in July 24 and said, Trump may not be the president, but he's the leader. He's our leader of America. Oh, really? Give me a break. Now Tucker says, oh, Trump might be the Antichrist. Tucker says nobody could go against Israel. Really? Obama did. Trump can't or won't. They still won't criticize Trump. People like Tucker, people like Megyn Kelly, they'll make a stink about Israel. They'll take their shots at Trump. They'll take their pot shots. But in the end, they still want to deliver the vote right back to the GOP. Haven't learned their lesson. Or they want to throw it to Vance, Trump's vice president that he handpicked, that was in the room when all these decisions were made. So what actually is it going to take? What do people need to see to wake up and realize what must be done here? And maybe to put it in more concrete terms, when are people going to wake up and realize this guy is the problem? It's him. It's not that there's this Antichrist thing. It's not that nobody can resist Israel or whatever. No, it's Trump. Trump is the problem. Trump is the problem. Who is even part of MAGA anymore? Think about the damage that he is doing. He doesn't have a high approval rating. He has a high favorability rating among Republicans. And he is very popular, unfortunately, still. If you ask your average person, hey, do you like Trump? Your average right-leaning person is going to say, yeah, I like Trump. Yeah, he's got to do what he's got to do. Even if they're against the war, you might say, really, you support the war? Your average person is going to say, I don't like Iran. I support Trump. A lot of these pro-Trump people on Twitter, they're not entirely wrong when they say that it's an internet phenomenon that people are really up in arms about the war. You know who's against the war? Very young people, very online people. But you look at older people, you look at the boomers, you look at some of the Xers, you look at your average Republican voter, your average right-wing conservative person, they still like Trump. And think of the damage that Trump is doing when he gets on Truth Social and says, you're not MAGA if you don't like Mark Levin. You're not MAGA if you don't support my war in Iran. Tucker, Megyn Kelly, Alex Jones, Candace Owens, Marjorie Greene, they're not MAGA. They're idiots. Don't listen to them. They're terrible podcasters. Think of the damage that he is doing and the moment that we are in. It might be easier if you imagine what a real president might do in the situation that is actually America first. If we actually had a positive force in the White House, that person would be elevating these voices, not diminishing them. If we had a real America first president, you know what that would look like? Well, for openers, they wouldn't be glazing Mark Levin on the timeline, endorsing Lindsey Graham, and prosecuting a war in Iran. They wouldn't be mocking and putting down the only five podcasters and former congresswoman that's actually still America first. And what Trump is doing is being the nucleus of this movement and having the legacy and the bully pulpit that he has, he is sucking all the oxygen out of the room. Nobody is free to imagine what a genuine America First movement should or could or can look like as long as he is there. He is sitting on the seat. It is occupied. And so any money that would go in that direction, any votes that would go in that direction, any wayward Republican politician that might trend in that direction, they can't, because he's sitting on the chair blocking all of it, absorbing all of it. No Republican politician wants to go against Trump, so no Republican politician can be America first. And no Republican donor wants to make Trump mad. They don't want to put money behind somebody that isn't Trump endorsed. They need his endorsement. So all that money is going to flow into the Trump machine, the Trump-controlled Republican super PACs, and the Trump-endorsed candidates. And the same goes for all the other projects. He is sitting there occupying the seat, and he is now preventing. Don't you understand? He is preventing and blocking and suffocating any real America First movement that might emerge. And isn't this the perfect opportunity? What other opportunity do you get in this century for an America First movement? Biden let in 10 million illegal aliens. And look at the polling that resulted from that. The majority of people were against legal immigration, supported mass deportations. You had this October 7th rolling campaign by Israel, a genocide in Gaza, drawing the United States into a war with Iran. What am I saying? We could have had an America First president that would have been anti-immigration and would have resisted the Israel lobby and maybe even put them in their place in some kind of confrontation. But we all know that could have never happened because Trump was going to be the nominee. And Trump is now the president. And now he says the law of the land is Mark Levin, Lindsey Graham, war with Iran, burying the Epstein files. We're going to go after the criminal illegals, but no more mass deportations. And because he's the guy, everybody's got to fall in line and go with it. Because he's the guy, it's impossible for anybody to raise a challenge against it. He suffocates anything that might oppose that. Who could go against Trump? Who's powerful enough? Nobody. And this is why I said in 24, it would have been better if he lost. Because I said exactly this. I said, if you get Trump, everyone will become complacent. If Trump wins in 24, I told you that this is precisely what would happen. I said, if Trump wins in 24, he's taken us to war in Iran. You get no mass deportations. He's going to de-radicalize everybody. The second he wins, everybody's going to say, we can trust elections again. They're not rigged if Trump can win. Everybody's going to breathe a sigh of relief. Everybody is going to make excuses. They're going to take it easy on him. They're going to go with it. I said, in all of that revolutionary sentiment, all of that disillusionment, anger, frustration, it will all dissipate. The pressure will be released. I said, and by 2028, people are going to be over it. Trump is going to lose everybody. And by 28, people are going to be ready for a left-wing economic populist to eat the rich or whatever, or do UBI, or have Anthropic have a alignment safety-oriented AI program. And that is exactly what has happened. That is exactly how it has played out. Case in point. And, you know, a lot of that sounded abstract. I'll never forget the feeling of trying to explain this to people in 24. People would say, oh, but Trump is better than Kamala. So, like, you really think he's going to be worse? And I tried to explain this to people. I said, but you see, if Trump wins, he's going to de-radicalize everybody. If he loses, people are going to stay pissed off, and Trump goes away. He doesn't ruin his legacy. He can exist in our imagination as this radical that he never was. I said, and by 28, people are going to be ready for right-wing radicalism. I said, we need to incubate more anger. We need to incubate more resentment so that by 2028, people are ready for a radical option. And with Trump out of the picture, maybe one can arise. A space will be opened up. That is always the first step. People think the first step is get the guy to run for office. No, the first step is a space has to be opened up. This is perennial, a container, a space must open. Do you understand what I'm saying? A space must be created. The conditions must be created. The conditions and the timing have to be right. And then the right person emerges. But if Trump is sitting there and we know he fucking sucks, then that person can't emerge. So, and that's where we are. So, I mean, it's hilarious. It would be hilarious if it wasn't so sad. But that's your post. Trump, Mr. Golden Age, America first, no new wars, mass deportations. He writes a 500-word screed putting down by name Megyn Kelly, Candace Tucker, Marjorie Greene, Alex Jones. And why? Because they don't want to go to war with Iran. That's crazy. Like, think about that sentence. How insane is that? Tucker is like a full-blown Hitler worshiper. Honestly, the blood guilt is a little extreme for me. You know, Tucker seems to be like, I don't know, he seems to be like a Marcionite. And I don't even know if he's against blood guilt, because it seems like he just hates Jews and Israel too much, even for me. Tucker's like a full-blown Hitler worshiper. Candace Owens is a full-blown anti-Semite. Even Alex Jones is criticizing Trump finally. This is where we are. Trump has brought us to a war in Iran. And now by name, he is casting all of them out of MAGA. So whereas you might have said, these people are the far right flank, they're pushing the envelope, they're leading the GOP in a more radical direction where Trump maybe cannot. Now Trump is actively fighting them and discrediting them. And conversely, he's promoting Mark Levin, promoting Laura Loomer, endorsing Lindsey Graham. It could not get more explicit. It's 2026 and Trump is saying MAGA means war with Iran, no Epstein files. MAGA means Mark Levin and Laura Loomer and Lindsey Graham are the best, and Tucker and Candace and Megyn Kelly and Alex Jones are the worst. It's just like, it's indefensible now. Fuck MAGA. It's dead. MAGA is, I'll do it again for you. MAGA is dead. We are America first. This means nothing. Fuck this movement. If MAGA means Lindsey Graham, Laura Loomer, Barry Weiss, and Netanyahu, and not Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens, Alex Jones, and Tucker, then MAGA is garbage. It is a dead brand. No young person wants to be a part of this. Nobody is enthusiastic about it, and it is a joke. And I hope Trump knows that. Trump, you don't have any young fans anymore. I know, I'm a young person. You don't have any young supporters. The people that memed you into the White House, the people that made the memes, the actually creative, fun, edgy, intelligent young people that brought the energy in 2016, they're gone. I know, I was one of them. I'm not anymore. It is a dead and dying movement. The only people left in MAGA are the boomers that still watch Fox News, the boomers in the villages, all these retirees in Florida, these people that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground anymore. They get tricked by AI on the regular. Those are the only people that are still with it. And like Trump, they're not going to be here in 20 years. They're going to be dead. We are going to be here in 20 years. We are going to be in politics in 20 years, and we're done with that. So it's like I've been saying from the beginning, it's time to dream a little bigger. It's time to imagine the actual America First movement. And that starts with discarding Trump. No, sorry. If that's what MAGA is, then we're not MAGA. No one is MAGA. I don't want to be at the tail end of the Trump movement. I want to get in at the ground floor of the America First movement. And what we need to start to imagine is a movement that is so radical and severe and powerful that it towers over the MAGA movement. We want the America First movement to look like a tsunami, a hurricane, and we want MAGA to look like a little wave, a little ripple. That's the kind of mindset that we need. Don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that it happened and look forward to a more radical and more extreme future. That's the only way, is to recognize that Trumpism is not the end-all be-all. It's not the last word. It was a necessary first step. And with no nostalgia and with no sentimentality and no emotional investment, we need to wrest the baton from Trump's tiny hands. We need to take the baton from Trump's small hands, whether he likes it or not. Thank you, but your movement is dead, and we need to put the pillow on top of the movement. It's day of the pillow. Trump, we love you. Thank you for what you have done, but we are now going to euthanize the MAGA movement. We're going to take the baton from it, and we're going to carry it forward, and only the young people can do it. It's not going to be Trump. Honestly, it's not even going to be Tucker. Tucker's too old as well. It's got to be us. All the energy is with the Groypers. We will take it from here. Not Vance, not Tucker, not Trump. Me. Us. The Groypers. We are the future. So that's how we have to think about all this. I recognize we've spent the entire show talking about this post. So we are going to move on. We're going to get into the latest on Iran, but it's what it is. I mean, when you see a post like this, it really crystallizes for you. It should really bring it home that this is over now. Okay? It's been almost exactly 10 years, and it's now over. So it's time for everybody to move on. And the only way that can happen is if and when Trump is out of the picture, when he leaves office. So it's just a disgrace. I don't know how anybody could still stand behind Trump at this point. What does Trumpism now represent? Like I said, it's corporate tax cuts. It's war with Iran. It's whatever this old piece of shit says it is. You know, and it's like Trump was never even that conservative. Trump is not a white nationalist. Trump is not even a Christian. Does he even believe in God? Does he even know anything about God? He's not anti-Semitic. He fucking loves Israel and always has. He's practically a Jew himself. And he's from New York real estate. Who do you think he's been in business with his entire life? So people have this attachment to Trump. It's time to let it go. It's time to be the legend killer. We're like Randy Orton. You know, we're like Kylo Ren. We have to look at Trump's toupee. We have to look at Trump's MAGA hat and say, I will finish what you started. But no, it's over. The past is dead. We have to kill the past. We have to kill this movement before it kills us. Before MAGA can suffocate the next generation, we need to suffocate MAGA. We're moving on. We're breaking with the past. The past doesn't exist anymore, and we're not going to let it hold us back anymore. Now we have to begin to create boldly, and all options are on the table. But anyway, that's where we are mentally.